Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Access Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest is Alan Collins, and Alan is here to talk about 19 states that have higher student loan debt than annual budgets. Explain that. That seems pretty ominous, Alan.
Well, that's right, Cynthia. It was quite astonishing to me as well. I had been looking at a couple of states, and I realized that, wow, you know, the student loan debt in those states was getting to the point where it was getting fairly close to their entire state budget. And when I say entire state budget, I mean both federal and state dollars. So all the money that a state spends in a year in both of the from both of those revenue sources. So this is the big budget. And so I looked at the most recent Department of Education data from last quarter, and I found that many states owed not only more than their state budgets, but in some cases far more. Interestingly, the state of Georgia happens to be heads and shoulders above the rest of the states by this metric. You know, the entire Georgia state budget is about $48 billion. Well, the people of Georgia owe nearly $82 billion in student loan debt. That is just a jaw-dropping statistic. You know, you could buy every farm, every peanut farm, every peach farm in the state of Georgia, every farm, every tractor, every barn house, all the equipment, everything. And you'd still have $20 billion left over with the amount of student loan debt that is in the state. So it's just shocking. And, you know, I'll say this too, it's really interesting, Cynthia, is that most of the states whose student loan debt exceeds the total state budget, most of these are historically Republican states. So we're talking Georgia, North, South Carolina, Indiana, Texas, Florida, Ohio is kind of battleground state, Tennessee, Alabama, states like that. And so this is just quite surprising. And I think Republicans everywhere, certainly state legislatures, and most importantly, I think the governors of these states, they need to take a very fresh look at this issue. Because remember, Cynthia, the people that this is harming, they're not all dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, right? You know, 55% of people with some college identify as being either Republican, and that's about 43%, or independent, and that's about 12%. So the majority of student loan borrowers are not, you know, Antifa and the people we saw demonstrating over the summer and liberal elites. No. First, you know, liberal elites, first of all, they don't even get student loans. They just, no, the people that are being affected are normal people, and they're a very accurate reflection of the political divide in this country. So, you know, people, particularly Republican governors, need to understand that their states are being crushed, and it is their voters, the people who voted for them, who are being crushed by this debt. And so Republicans need to open their eyes and recognize this big government lending scam for what it is and start fighting for their citizens rather than the swamp.
I'm sorry. You and I have talked, you know, over the past couple of years on the presidency and student loan debt, but you just brought up an interesting concept. What do the executives in different states, are they concerned about the amount of debt their citizens have?
Well, quite frankly, Cynthia, I don't think that they even know. You know, 90% of this debt is federal debt. And so as a state legislator, as a governor, they're just not that aware of this federal debt. You know, they understand the state higher education system and all the money they give to the colleges and so on and so forth. but it's just not their department to know or care about federal student loan debt in the state. I would bet $5 that not even a third of the governors in the states that we found to be owing more in student loan debt than the state budgets, I would bet that less than a third of the governors of those states are even aware how bad it has become. And so as an organization, our little group, Student Loan Justice, we are reaching out to the governors of all of those states as we speak. And I hope everybody listening out there who cares about this issue, check out our report. You can go to studentloanjustice.org and find it. If you happen to live in one of those states where student loan debt eclipses the state budget, you need to start fires under your governor and maybe your state attorney general as well, and help us get the truth out, because I really believe the truth is going to set us free on this. These loans need to be canceled, by the way. This lending system is a catastrophic failure. And, you know, if we can get even one or two Republican governors to stand up and say, President Biden, enough. Don't cancel $10,000 in student loans. Don't cancel up to $50,000 in student loans, whatever that means. Cancel all of the loans, sir. That really is what the governors need to do. They need to start fighting for their people rather than putting their head in the sand and allowing the federal government to wreck their states, their state economies, and obviously their citizens.
I recently had a doctor's appointment. My doctor's a young woman, and we talked about student loan debt, and she said that she's paid off quite a bit of her student loan debt. And I talked about, you know, debt forgiveness and everything. And she said, why should they be forgiven when I paid back so much? So it's an attitude of, I did my share, they should do their share. What do you say to that?
You know, people who have the financial wherewithal to repay their student loans in years or decades past, I salute and applaud them. But the fact of the matter today, Cynthia, is that even before this pandemic, 80% of all student loan borrowers, certainly federal student loan borrowers, it's like 40 million people, they were never going to be able to repay their loans. You know, should we have never ended slavery because it wouldn't have been fair to the older slaves who had spent their life in bondage? No, of course we should have ended slavery. Should we not be administering the COVID vaccine because it's unfair to the people who perished before the treatment was available? Of course, no. That's just nonsense. That's silly. And, you know, people that like to wag their finger at the people being crushed by these loans, they need to take two steps back and see who they are actually fighting for by wagging their fingers at the victims of this lending scam. Who does it benefit? Well, it benefits the federal government, who profits $50 billion a year on this predatory lending system from which bankruptcy protections and statutes of limitations have been removed. It benefits the Department of Education. It benefits the colleges, who have been engorging themselves on $100 billion a year in funding that they've received through this lending program. You know, people who want to wag their fingers, I very strongly suggest, well, number one, there's nothing they can say or do to undo the fact that this is a catastrophically failed lending system. It will not survive this pandemic. It will not. But I would urge them to, maybe if they want to wag their fingers, maybe they should be wagging their fingers at the 43,000 millionaires and billionaires who got, on average, a $1.6 million apiece stimulus during this pandemic. If they want to wag their fingers, maybe they should be wagging their fingers at the $1 trillion in loans that went to hundreds of thousands or millions of small businesses to this country in this pandemic. These are loans that also don't need to be paid back. And by the way, these PPP loans all add to the national debt and are going to require a rise in taxes or some other funding strategy at some point. You know, the president can cancel these loans tomorrow without adding one dime to the national debt, without needing to raise one penny in taxes or other revenues from the Treasury. So I think that people who repaid their loans in years or decades past, they should be glad to be done and not wish for their fellow citizens to be wrecked by what has now today become a catastrophically failed lending system.
So,
and quite frankly, they ought to be ashamed of themselves for wishing their neighbors to be beggared. You know, we're a better country than that. We shouldn't be wishing ill on those who are less financially capable than us, as most doctors are.
That's quite a statement. You know, the people are saying now what they hear on TV, and they say, oh, you know, Biden's going to forgive $50,000 per person per student loan. What do you say to that? And I'll tell you why I said that. Because I was talking to my editor yesterday, and he was talking about his student loan debt. And he's a blind man. He's a young man. He's totally blind. And he has student debt, and he said he can't wait for that $50,000 forgiveness program so that it would free him to buy other stuff. And I'm sure there's other people who are counting on a $50,000 forgiveness so that they could buy stuff and make this economy more robust. What do you say?
Well, first of all, when Biden was running for president before the election, he said, if you went to a public college or an HBCU for undergrad, I will eliminate your student loans. Now, as soon as he got elected and took office, all of a sudden he was like, oh, no, wait, no, I will not be doing that. And, you know, he's even casting doubt on the argument that he even has the power to do this. So Biden is backsliding big time. And quite frankly, Cynthia, this up to $10,000 loan cancellation stuff, this up to $50,000 loan cancellation stuff that we're hearing about in the media right now, quite frankly, that is the lending system's attempt, the establishment's attempt to bound this, to put an upper limit on this loan forgiveness. And it's, you know, perhaps they haven't gotten the memo yet, but the reality on the ground, Cynthia, as I said earlier, even before this pandemic, 80% of the people were never going to be able to repay their loans. That's probably up to 85 or 90% now. And remember also, Cynthia, almost nobody is making payments on their student loans right now because of the pandemic moratorium. If you really think that many people are going to resume making payments on their loans when and if the repayment suspension is lifted, you're dreaming. That's fantasy. It's not going to happen. In fact, you know, I would be stunned if even 15 or 20% of student loan borrowers actually resume making payments on their student loans when and if this repayment suspension is lifted. It ain't going to happen. You know, the default rate for everybody with student loans right now is going to be 75%, probably far higher. So by for comparison purposes, you know, the default rate for subprime home mortgages, Cynthia, which I think most people would agree was a failed lending system, the default rate for subprime home mortgages was 18%. So, you know, we are now, for certainly for federal student loans, we are now looking at 80%. That's more than four times higher than the default rate for subprime home mortgages. So, by all rational, reasonable metrics, Cynthia, this lending system is toast. It's done. This pandemic is the nail in the coffin. And obviously the establishment in Washington, D.C., the corporate and mainstream media, they seem to be trying very hard to keep this lending system on life support. But, you know, there's really nothing that they can do or say to alter the fact that this lending system is over the cliff. It just is. If they were smart, they would do the right thing, sweep this lending system into the dustbin of history and start over again. You know, this pandemic offers a great opportunity to get rid of this failed lending system and come up with a far more rational, a more reasonably priced way to fund higher education in this country. They should seize this opportunity. And you know, more than that, governors across the country need to stand up, particularly Republican governors in the states that I mentioned at the top of this interview. Republican governors need to stand up and say, you know, maybe even trump the Democrats, to maybe use a funny word, Trump. But the Republican governors could outdo the Democrats right now and say, President Biden, enough. Don't cancel up to $10,000, not up to $50,000. Cancel all of the loans. Cancel the entire lending system. Take this lending system to the bath and drown it in the tub. That is what needs to happen. And, you know, the lending system is just done. And the quicker that the smart people in Washington, D.C. can get that through their thick skulls, and also the governors, I should say, the quicker we can move on, get this lending system behind us, free up the 45 million people plus another 10 million co-signers who are being strangled by these loans, and really stimulate not only the economy but the American people generally.
Let me ask you this question. You were saying about how many people are defaulting on their loans. I believe it's defaulted, then it goes to a collection agency. Well, these people at the collection agencies, they're making phone calls. They're getting a salary, and people can't pay. What do you think about collection agencies that constantly harass people, and they're not helping people who have debt? What's your opinion?
No, these servicers, the Sallie Mae's and the Nelnets and the Fed Loan Servicings and all the companies that people out there with student loans know about, these people are parasites. They are targeting vulnerable citizens. You know, defaulting on a loan allows them to legally attach massive penalties and fees onto the loans. So the collection industry, they're not creating any value. They're not doing anything but targeting, exploiting, and I would say robbing decent citizens under the weight of these predatory, tyrannical, federally protected loans. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Quite frankly, they ought to rethink their life, because at this point, Cynthia, the jig is up. This lending system is done.
Okay, when you say the lending system is done, what ultimately do you see happening?
Well, you know, it could go one of two ways. It could have a good ending or a bad ending. The good ending is what I have been describing here today, where the people in Washington, D.C. realize that it's time to be done with this, free the country of this ridiculous, failed, predatory debt, and they do the right thing. And use this pandemic as an excuse to reset, or I would say delete the lending system. But, you know, it could have a bad ending, too. You know, this could be a very painful, probably civilly unrestful unwinding, where the response by the collection agencies, maybe even the federal government, is severe, and they hound the borrowers for years and years to come. I don't see anything good coming out of that. I don't see the economy being stimulated. I don't think there's much benefit in turning 40 plus million people into angry, demoralized, highly resentful and unpatriotic individuals for the crime of going to college. I don't see any benefit to that. But, you know, I think that is a very real concern. That is a very real possibility. So I would urge everybody out there, in fact, whether they have student loans or not, to join us in calling on President Biden to cancel not up to $10,000, not up to $50,000, to cancel all of these loans. It's just done. It's toast. And it's far better to get rid of it in a very healthy way than to cling to a failed lending system and try to perpetuate it for highly negative returns.
Now, when you during the last presidential election, you had talked to the candidates and you had talked to Biden and his team, and they just blew you off. Didn't they realize that they did this to your detriment and to the detriment of 44 million other people?
Well, Joe Biden was an establishment candidate. The establishment looks after itself, and the federal student loan system is part and parcel of that establishment. You know, Joe Biden, when I talked to him back around, I want to say January or February of last year, he shut me down on even the very moderate proposal that we return bankruptcy protections to these loans. He said, oh, no, we don't need bankruptcy because we're going to have these great repayment programs and so on and so forth. Well, all the repayment programs, all the forgiveness programs, public service loan forgiveness, income-driven repayment, et cetera, 99% of the people who try for those are being disqualified. So Joe Biden is pulling the establishment line, and it was really only after we got through the primaries that Biden wound up embracing Elizabeth Warren's bankruptcy plan for student loans, which, by the way, we were very instrumental in making happen, so we're thrilled about that. But, you know, Joe Biden is a politician. He will go where the wind blows. You know, he laughed me out of the room when I mentioned bankruptcy a year ago. Well, today, certainly before the election, he was not only fully on board, supposedly, with bankruptcy, he was calling for the elimination of student loans for people who earn less than $125,000 a year. So his rhetoric changed radically over 7 or 8 months. And I might add also, you know, we started a petition in March of last year calling for the cancellation of student loans by executive order. It now has almost 1 million signatures, and this was the reason that Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer publicly started to call on first President Trump and now Joe Biden to cancel loans by executive order. So things are happening very fast around this issue, and the rhetoric is changing on a daily or weekly basis, Cynthia. So to everybody out there, don't be too dispirited by the nonsense we hear coming from the Biden administration today, because I can guarantee you it is going to change tomorrow. And the harder we all are, the harder us borrowers and just people generally that don't like what they see, the more we can fight, bond together, come together and fight, I should say, the quicker this rhetoric will change and the quicker we can get these loans gone the right way instead of the painful way. We don't want that second option. We want that first scenario to play out. We want these loans gone for the good of the country.
You know, we've talked many times, and, you know, we talked about Biden and the other candidates during the election. And we're almost out of time, but in like 2 minutes or less, can you talk about Joe Biden's role in this whole student loan debacle?
Well, Joe Biden as a senator from Delaware was not good at all on the student loan issue. He's got a lot of both personal and professional baggage on this. You know, he was good friends with Albert Lord, CEO of Sallie Mae, chairman of Sallie Mae. He was instrumental, in fact, in getting bankruptcy protections removed from private student loans in 2005. With President Obama as 8 years as vice president, nearly $1 trillion in student loan debt was added onto the back of the nation. So we knew Joe Biden was really kind of a bad guy going into this, and he certainly hasn't disappointed us up to this point so far. He's lived up to that reputation. But as I said, I'm not too worried about Biden, and people out there should remember that ultimately the people control this lending system. Joe Biden doesn't control it. Department of Education doesn't control it. The colleges and the other vested interests who are trying to keep this dead lending system marching around like a zombie, they don't control the lending system. Ultimately, that $1.8 trillion in outstanding debt, that has to come from the citizens. So we, the people, actually hold the gold. So by the golden rule, he who holds the gold makes the rules. Well, this lending system is done, and one way or the other, it's going to go away. But people out there, we can't just sit and watch and wait and hope that Washington, D.C. does the right thing. We have to push them and force them to do the right thing. That's the only way this is going to happen. And the harder we fight now, the easier it will be later.
You know, you and I have talked for a few years now. And in those 4 years, it seems like the debt has only increased. It hasn't helped many people, right?
No. In fact, as I said at the top, 80% of all student loan borrowers, even before this pandemic, were never going to be able to repay their loans. So this lending system is harming, not helping, the vast majority of people who take out these loans. It's become a national threat, quite frankly. You know, $100 billion in interest alone is being sucked out of the state economies. You know, 40% of student loan borrowers never even graduated from college. So this lending from college may be helpful for many, maybe probably most people. I don't know. It probably is. A college education, I should say, is generally a good thing. But this lending system is making going to college not just a bad mistake, but for many people, the worst financial decision they ever made.
Yeah.
Now, wow. We're a better country than this, Cynthia, right? You know, if Germany and the Netherlands and Sweden and Denmark and Norway and many other countries, Russia, China, Mexico, Cuba, Venezuela, if they can send their people to college for free or nearly free, I think we can probably figure it out here in the U.S. But at this late date, it starts with erasing this current federal monstrosity that has grown to obscene and terminal and nationally threatening proportions.
So, Alan, we're out of time, so can you give your contact information, and anybody hearing this who'd like to join your organization can?
Yeah, we're at studentloanjustice.org. I would probably tell people the first thing you should do is sign our petition, though, and that is change.org/cancelstudentloans, all one word.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Our time is up. You have a wonderful day,
thank you,
sure we'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening.